I've got some places marked this morning, and we're going to take a time, Lord willing, and look at confusion in the Scriptures and see what the Lord has to say. I always seem like, not always, but things happen, and thoughts come to mind. I tell you, it's a blessing every day, and when the Lord puts a thought on your heart or a hymn. I remember Brother Merv used to talk about he'd ride down the road and be singing. And that's been years ago. I remember him saying that one time. And I've seen him back going down the road. We was working up here one time. He's driving out, and he's just singing, had his windows down. And that's a blessing. The Lord puts a hymn on your heart, or puts a thought on your heart, or a message you've heard. You know, it's a blessing to that. You need to thank the Lord for that. And so this thought here, it actually come to mind we were traveling and talking about confusion and bewilderment, something that's disorder or perplexed. And I guess what kind of, it's a simple way, I guess it kind of come to our mind, but I'm going to get over to Corinthians. Here I'm talking. I'm not even getting over there. And we were traveling, and Kim's mom and dad actually were traveling. And you remember we went down on vacation. They drove the, I don't know, 14 hours or whatever it was, and we flew. And anyway, we got down there, got to where we was going. They should have got there ahead of us. And we got there and had everything unloaded. You know, we'd only been gone probably seemed like 3 or 4 hours from up here. And they were traveling, and they said, well, we're here. We just can't find out where we're going. In other words, they were confused about their directions. And so Kim said, well, tell us where you're at, and we'll come get you. And so they said, well, we're by a certain church. They pulled in at a parking lot, and it looked like the letter looked like a P to her mom, but it was an R. And Kim said, well, I can't find that church anywhere down here. So she was just confused. Anyway, Kim figured it out. She said, I bet she sees that sign. She thinks that's a P and not an R. You know, it's one of them fancy R's, you know. And so we got over there, and we met them, and we got out of the car, and of course her dad's, you know, and I'd be the same way, and, you know, you got to find her. Oh, you guys gave us the wrong direction. Says the name of this place is such and such. You know, it's not island or whatever. And then Jewel spoke up, her mom, and she said, well, the reason why we were confused, or I think perplexed, she had an odd look on her face. She said, that woman, she kept giving us the wrong directions. And I said, woman? She said, yeah, she just led us astray. She said, she got us down here on the end of this island. And then she said, we missed it. And she said, every time we turned, it'd be a different direction. I said, now, Kim gave you wrong directions. No, Kim wouldn't give us wrong directions. That woman. I said, what woman? She said, the woman in the car. Well, I bent down and looked in. And they've got this new Avalon that's got one of those built-in GPS. So that was the woman that she was blaming for getting him lost. And I thought, I bet they think a lady's been on the phone with them since they left Kingsport 14 hours earlier. And she messed them up. So she said, in her words, well, she goes, that's why we were confused. And I say that in that little story there because that's a blessing how we laughed about it and went on. But then sometimes I'll be, you know, you mowing the yard or something, or like Brother Merv, you say, he's riding down the road in his truck and the Lord put a hymn on his heart. That comes back to mind. You think about confusion. And why are we? Do we get confused? Sometimes we're confused in our lives and don't know which direction to go. And we'll look at that a little bit today in David's life. I'll check my time there. Yeah, we got time for that. And we'll go over and look. And just a second, we'll look over in Psalms and in 1 Samuel. But just to kind of put that in perspective here in 1 Corinthians, and I believe it was chapter 14, verse 33. We'll start verse 32, just these two verses. Just to kind of keep this in mind in our lives, because sometimes we all get confused. You know, Preacher Jack, I refer back to messages he says a lot, and I remember he used to make a comment, and I've made it here, and I've heard pastor say this, our Preacher Vinoy, make the comment as well. If you have to think about through the decision and think about it a lot, which, you know, we do, then you need to be wondering, is it really in God's will? Is that God's plan? Sometimes, you know, we think through or pray through, I guess, questions we have in our lives or direction God would have us go, which is fine. But I what I got from that in both sermons or messages, I've heard him say something similar, was that if you're having to question if it's the right or wrong, or is it biblical or not, then you better go with the biblical side. And you better go with the right side, not the side of your questioning, oh, is that okay to do that? Is that a gray area? And I remember that the similarities of that they both mentioned that, and I thought that's important in our lives. If you're questioning yourself, is this really what God would have me to do, then you need to put the brakes on. Pray about it, because that could lead to confusion. Or let's see here what we've got here. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's verse 32. And so, for God is not the author of confusion. In other words, not the author of any type of disorder or making you perplexed or bewilderment. He said, but of peace, and is as in all churches of the saints. In other words, God's not like the little woman that Jewel, Kim's mom, blamed on getting them lost. You know, it was easy. That's that woman in the car. She told us how to get there. And we laugh about that, and that's just kind of, a simple example. But God doesn't keep you in the dark, so to speak. He wants you to have the light and the direction for you to go and the plans for your life and for our lives as we go through each day. That's why preachers, they prepare and study and pray before they come to the pulpit to preach. They ask us to pray for them before we get here, even as we're here and as we're sitting under the preaching. Because they know without God's direction that there's nothing in it. There's nothing there. But God's not going to be in, a disorderly service or a disorderly place. And I say disorderly because I think about it as in order of the church. And that doesn't mean we follow strict guidelines when we come in. But at the same time, there'll be an order to the service. Of course, following the Holy Spirit will be an order to the service. So, you just bear with me here, and I'm going to look at a couple places and keep that in mind. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, with that said, there are times, I think, when God uses confusion. God's enemies may be confounded with confusion. We'll see just in a second how David prayed for that over in Psalms. But at the same time, in a verse prior to that, David himself is asking the question, am I where you want me to be? He doesn't want to be confused. So we'll look at both ways in the Scripture. We're going to go over and we'll look just briefly at a verse or two of where God has used confusion in the Scripture against Israel's enemies. Keep them confused, kind of in the dark, so to speak. But also where God's men have prayed not to be confused or for direction. Actually, we'll look at three examples. David himself over in 1 Samuel asked, is this your will for me? Is this your will for me? And he talks about not being confused. He wants to be sure that's where God would have him to be. Much like I used the example, if we've heard Pastor, and Preacher Jack years ago, they'd made similarities in the comment about knowing God's will in your life. Stopping to ask that question, is this the right thing? Is this where God would have me to be? Just not jumping into it altogether. Okay, let's go to Psalms, if you would, and I won't have you turn all the places, but Psalm 70. We'll use our Bibles a little bit this morning. And the next verse is going to be right below that. It's going to be Psalm 71, or the next psalm will be here. I say that. And boy, the lights come on there, didn't they? Boy, I tell you. I look at Psalm 70, and we'll just look at verse 2. And see, again, this is David, and he's praying for deliverance. Enemies are after him. And he says, let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. In other words, David's prayer here is that confusion be used against his enemies. That they may be, and as I read that, let them be turned backward and put to confusion. I read that, and you can, as if they turn around backward, or they go the other direction, they go away from David. But also, I think about that, and as you read and you study that out, sometimes kids play this game where they spin around and around. I know Maggie loves to do that, Jesse does. And Luis, not so much. I think he's getting a little older, and it's hard to keep his equilibrium straight, and then he's always twisting an ankle or a knee or something, so he doesn't spin as much as he used to. But Maggie, she'll get out there, and she'll spin as fast as she can, as quick as she can. She'll say, Dad, get out here and spin with me. And I'll say, no, I'll just watch you. And then she'll try to walk a straight line. And I think that's what that's when they say turn backward. To really, you know, when she goes to try to walk, Maggie's unstable, and she really didn't go the right direction, and she just stops all of a sudden. And every time she spins, she'll go a different way as she stops. And I think that's what David's talking about there is confusion. They have no direction. They don't know which way they're going. They're unstable. That's what David's talking about, his enemies and what he's praying for. In other words, the lost or the world, and to this day, anti-God sentiment that you get a lot in the world, they're unstable. They think they're stable or they're going the right direction and we're the ones that's off. You know, we're the right-wing radicals. But yet they're the ones that maybe have problems with their gait, so to speak, or in their path. And that's what David's praying about here. He said, put them to confusion. And sometimes when you're confused, I know in the hospital, that's one of the biggest things we deal with is patients get confused. And that's one of the toughest things to deal with is try to let them know where they're at. Try to orient them. Say, where are you? You know, there's questions of five that they'll ask. They'll say, what's your name? When were you born? Where are you at? Okay, in this place. Okay, what city are we in? Who's the president? That's like the top five questions they'll ask. And they like for them to get at least three out of the five. Because if they're more confused than that, and then they'll talk and I'll say, well, you know, they can't make decisions about their health. They don't even know who they are. Or they may know who they are, but they have no idea where they're at. So there's varying degrees of being confused or perplexed. And that's not what we want, though, in our spiritual life or our Christian lives. But sometimes it is used, as David's prayed for here, to confuse the enemy, so to speak. Now let me move down to Psalm 71, verse 1. We'll just read it. He said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In other words, let me know. In other words, like we saw with Maggie spinning, and she just kind of get that feeling. She tried to walk and go a different direction, unstable. David says, I never want to be that way. I want to know your will in my life. I want to know for sure that's what you'd have me to do. And know what direction you'd have me to go. And that bewilderment or being a perplexed state. And we all get that way sometimes, changing jobs or things come up, what to do with a family, or maybe something comes up and you got to make a decision. Young people make a decision. I think about Abby and Hannah had to go to college, and so last year at this time, to them, it was a big decision on where to go. Do I leave home? Do I stay on the dorm? How far away do I go? What do I study when I get there? Different decisions that we have to make. But this morning, we're looking more at if you're saved and you're Christians in our lives about getting the confusion out of our lives. And sometimes that goes back to, you know, we mentioned before, being too busy keeps us, I think, from putting a lot of thought into what God would have us to do. I woke up this morning and I remember getting up and getting going and I was thinking, it's Sunday again already. How quick not in a bad way, but I mean how quick the week went. And it seems like I just saw you guys two or three days ago. And I did some of you on Wednesday night, but I mean in a service on Sunday. And how fast time goes. And if you don't stop to take that time out to read your Bible and to pray, and I know all you guys know that, but we need to be reminded of that. We can get perplexed. We can get confused at times. Let's continue. Stay right there where you're at. I said let's continue. Let me turn over here to an example where David himself, I think it's in 1 Samuel, he was confused concerning God's will in his life, and that's really what I wanted to get to today. If I get over here, I'm a little slow. Here we go. He's fighting the Philistines, and he's a little confused, and so he seeks God's advice. I'm in 1 Samuel 23. If you want to turn, if you don't, that's fine. I'll read it to you. Then I got two or three other examples, and really a short lesson this morning. Unless the Lord leads us another way, we'll be finished up. But even David himself was perplexed. And said, David defeats the Philistines. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. Now, you got to remember, Saul's still chasing David at this time. I didn't tell you that. So David's got two or three things going on. You know, he's got Saul chasing him, trying to kill him. And then at the same time, some of the people, they still expect David to defend them. He still got, you remember how we talked about David's mighty men and a lot of those men that came to fight with David and the people that swore allegiance to David, they all came during these troubled times. You remember how we talked about the other one last week, you know, with the sword. He fought and Philistines and he was tired and the sword stayed in his hand. And as soon as he got through fighting everybody, and the Philistines fled, and he killed the others that remained, and everybody kind of came out of the woodwork and took all the spoils, even though he did all the fighting. And that's kind of how David, you put here, David's kind of in between. He's trying to run from Saul, but at the same time, he's got people keep coming to him. He said, David, they recognize him as king. So David's a little confused. He's perplexed. He's like, what do I do here? If I go back, Saul can get me. He can kill me. He'll know where I'm at. But at the same time, Philistines, they're robbing the threshing floors. They're stealing from my people. And the people he's been anointed as king to defend. So again, David here's a young man. So he said, they robbed the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord. That's the first thing he did. That goes back to what we mentioned earlier, we've heard preached and heard said before, is it right or wrong? Which direction do I go? What would the Lord have me do? So therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. That sounds simple enough. And David's men said unto him, behold, this is going to be a difference, see? David's their leader. And that's why I was mentioning earlier when I said when pastors stand, when preachers stand, they're praying, they're studying, but they want us to be praying, to be studying. And as they're preaching, be prayerful. You know, who was that? I guess it was Pastor telling us about someone used to preach, and he told us the church might have met years ago, and somebody'd be down below him, like in a basement or somewhere, they'd be praying as he began to preach. And not him, but he'd heard of that, the old pastor, and I think he'd give us a name of who it was, or he'd heard of that, and they'd say, well, boy, he can really preach. And he said, well, a lot of that has to do with the praying that's going on below. In other words, then people would understand, well, what do you mean below? And they'd be underneath him. 4 or 5 men be down there praying for the service. So I stopped right there to say, because this is what we get to now. David has prayed. David knows the direction to go. He's been told of the Lord, no problem. You go ahead, fight the Philistines, and save Keilah. There'll be no problems. That's kind of what he's getting from that, because that's how we read over here. It said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. So David is no longer confused. But here's the rub, so to speak. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip the verse. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. So now David's men said, you said that's what we need to do, but we're afraid. In other words, had they inquired? And he said, how much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So he said, we're already afraid for our lives. And see, that's what you'd think David would have thought. And a lot of us may have thought that. And David may have felt the same way until he inquired of the Lord. And said, so how much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So what David did as a good leader, and actually we saw Moses do this quite often, David went back to the Lord. He said, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. And his men this time said, okay, we'll go with you. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. But what happened, what David was concerned about in verse 1 is getting ready to happen. So he's got word from the Lord. He knows the direction to take. He's not perplexed at all. He knows where God would have him. His men are following him. They have confidence and faith in David now. Verse 6, and it came to pass when Abiathar the son of Amalek fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with the ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. See, Saul now knows where he is. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into my hand. For he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. There's only one way in and one way out. See, that goes back over here where in verse 2 that David said, let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after me, seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward. And as I was describing how Maggie would spin and really not know the direction she's going, but at the same time she would turn and try to walk and go a certain way, but sometimes, you know, she'd fall and stumble. That's kind of what Saul's getting ready to do here. He's really confused. He's turned backwards. God didn't put him there. It's God's plan that David's there, but not for Saul to take his life. He said, in other words, we'll see here, Saul's been put to confusion. He's going to be perplexed. Let's go ahead and read on just 4 or 5 more verses here. And said, as he was told, and Saul called all the people together to war. to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. He says, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to encompass that town. There's no way David can get away. God has delivered him to us. But you notice up above, David prayed to get the direction. Even twice he did. Because his men were still concerned. So David went back to the Lord again. And the Lord said, that's where I want you. Saul, his comment was said, God has delivered him into my hand. He took it for granted. Oh, that must be what's happened. And as we'll see here as we wrap up today, not right here, just in a few minutes, that sometimes confusion is used, God does, as we mentioned, for Israel's enemies. And sometimes as our enemies to the church. They're confused. Let's look here and see. And that's what happens to Saul is here. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. In other words, David's praying again. He hasn't moved. Saul's already on the move, got his men gathered together. He said, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? In other words, will the men of this city turn me over? I've just saved them. My men and I have just fought the Philistines. And as we see here, spoiled them. And as we see here, smote them with a great slaughter. So killed a lot of Philistines, saved the city. So David's saying, I'm in here now. Are these men going to turn me over? He said, will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard, O Lord God of Israel? I beseech thee, tell thy servant. In other words, he's seeking God's will. He doesn't want to be confused. He wants to know what to do. He's not moving until he finds out. Said, but I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. So he told him, said, yes, Saul's coming. He said, he's on his way. And that's what David gets from that. And he's praying. He goes on. He said, then said David, his second question, said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men? You know, David always had a heart for his men. You know, we go back and we think about David, you know, slaying Goliath, and think about him as a shepherd boy, and he's a young man here too. Go back and read sometime over in Psalms and here in Samuel, how many times David inquired or asked about the health of his men. Did his men have enough to eat? How they were doing? His leadership of his men. He just didn't always think of himself. He was unselfish. And you know, that goes back over to verse number 3 when at the time when David said, this is the direction we need to go. And his men said, we still be afraid. So he said, okay, I'll go pray again. And that's what you see here too. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. So what happens here is God told him, said, yeah, Saul's coming. You're going to be surrounded. And the men of Keilah, they forgot what you did. They're going to turn you over, you and your men. Said, then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. In other words, if you go through and read the rest of that 1 Samuel chapter 23, and it goes in, it talks more about Saul. And as you go down, I was wanting to, for sake of time, I won't go down and read. You'll see that Saul was coming to seek his life. But he got out before he got there. And Saul inquires. And that's when he starts inquiring about Jonathan. How did David know this? How did he know to get out? Who tipped him off? And see, what Saul didn't see, it was the God of heaven that tipped him off, so to speak. Told him he's on his way. Told him what's going to happen. He inquired of God. So there was no confusion in David's camp. They knew their direction. They knew what they needed to do. And I know we're talking about a battle here. That's what we face in our lives as Christians and as a church. We face a battle every day. It never stops. All the time. I don't even want to get into talking about it. You turn on the news or you turn on comments being made what I'm talking about is not religion, but fundamental Bible-believing Christians today. And just what the world may think of us, and which it doesn't matter what they think of us, but just what I'm saying, David was in a similar situation with Saul and his men coming in on him, and then our churches today and what we stand for. We stand for the truth. And let me continue here just a couple of days, and we're done. My alarm went off here, and I know that. I won't keep you. Give you time this morning to kind of visit with each other, but there's a couple places, examples in the Bible I wanted to show you where confusion was used when they defied God and they stayed confused. And so here we see where Saul did not seek the will of God, David did. And let me find just a couple places here. I was turning there and one comes to mind. Let's see right here. You'll recognize it. Just a verse each and we'll be finished up. And let's see. Over here in, here we go. Genesis. Oh, let me read that. You'll know this one. A lot of you already, so I know where he's going there. The Tower of Babel. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, or confusion. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So if you look there, it said, back up two verses, it said, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. In other words, that's an example where God used confusion against his enemies. Let me a couple more places here, just right here. Actually, I had that right there marked. I'd read it and thought about it. Oh. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea. That come back to me after the pastor's message he'd had a couple Sundays ago. He said, and and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass, and in the morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled or confused the host of Egyptians. So if you go through and you read your scripture and you see, and I got one more place over here. God's also used it, and we'll be finished up. I think this is right. Let me find it here. Over in Acts, I gave you examples of where God used confusion against his enemies, but sometimes, and it's the only place I found in Scripture, find another, let me know, where God used it, if I can find it, to signify a great event. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Now, that's only initially. Because that every man heard them speaking his own language, and that's all I'll read there. As you go through and read that, yeah, God used confusion in that case to signify a great event, but also to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Because they begin to inquire, why do we all hear in our own language? Are these men drunk? You know, they begin to ask these questions. What's wrong? And that's a place in Scripture you'll find where confusion was used to signify one of God's great events. That's it for this morning. Thank you for your attention. Go back and read over in James chapter 3. If you get a little time, that's somewhere we didn't get. I believe it's chapter 3. Let me look real quick. If you're reading this week, and that talks a little bit about it's typical of evil as well. That go back and read in chapter 3, and there's some warnings there. Applies a lot more to us in the church and as Christians, as far as what to look out for in the world and how confusion. And as you read that, I think a lot of times not only about our young people and our teens, but also us as adults and how we can be sometimes not entrapped by confusion, but can sometimes be bewildered ourselves in what the Lord would have for us to do. But go back and read that and just go back through and read it again the next day and find something new. And so you got time to visit, time to gossip with each other and tell everybody good morning and pray for the service.